Welcome to the Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from Peter Byron.
Through a series of unusual circumstances, I found myself being invited to do what's called a ride with a Broward County Sheriff's patrol officer. And I immediately took up on that offer. I was excited to be able to do that. So I show up at the police station, and they do a little orientation for the officers, and I'm assigned to go with one of these officers. So we get in the patrol car, and we're driving along in Deerfield Beach. And essentially, the officer's responsibility is to patrol his assigned geographical area and to, you know, keep his eyes open for what may be any crime or anything like that, but also to respond to the dispatch should he be called to a crime scene or be needed to do to assist any other officer. So we're driving around. We have a couple of calls and burglaries and whatnot, but I get to join the officer out of the car. I walk with him from the car up to the homes, and I see firsthand the experiences these people are having. You see how difficult people are living and the conditions they are. And so I'm having some eye-opening experiences. We're back in the car, and we're driving along, and he gets a call from a gas station convenience store. And the manager of the store is called in saying, "Hey, I see these three young teenagers walking around, these boys, and they look suspicious, and I kind of recognize them. I think they've been here before stealing cigarettes and beer or whatever." So we go out to this gas station C store. And sure enough, the police officer sees these three young kids, and they're just across the street from the convenience store, and he pulls right up to him and he calls him over and he tells me to stay in the car for this one. He says, "Stay here, I'm going to go talk to these kids." So he calls him over to the vehicle. It's right next to my door. My window's down. I can hear everything he says to them. And he starts asking them questions. "What are you doing? Where are you going?" That kind of thing. And he asks for identification. They pull out whatever they have. And he calls it in. And one of the things he says to each one of them is, "Have you ever been arrested?" And every one of them says, "Yes." And I'm thinking to myself, gee, really? These are like 15, 16-year-old kids. They've already been arrested? And he gets to the last one, and he says, "Have you ever been arrested?" And the kid says, "Yes." And he says, "Why were you arrested?" And the kid says, "For assaulting a police officer." And the police officer says, "Well, that was a stupid thing to do." So I can feel this sort of edge already between the three kids and the officer. There's a little bit of an edge going on. But anyway, he continues his questioning. Another officer pulls up in support, and they separate the kids, and they ask him a bunch of questions. And they sit them down on the grass, and they make them wait for a while. And then they send them on their way with, you know, "Don't be in trouble." So now I'm in the car. We're driving along. And I say to the officer, "What do you think is the future for those three kids?" And his answer was, "The future's already determined for those three kids. Each of those three boys will spend the rest of their lives in and out of jail." Anyway, we're driving along a little more, and he gets another call from the dispatch. And this time it's a manager of a pizza place, and it's in a strip shopping center. And the complaint is, there's a bunch of teenage girls in the restaurant, and they're bullying another girl, and they're causing a ruckus, and they're disturbing the other customers. And the pizza manager says, "I kicked them out of my restaurant, but they're in front of my restaurant on the sidewalk, and they're still, you know, making trouble and noisy and scaring away my business. Would you please come do something?" So we pull into the shopping center, and as soon as these girls see the patrol car, they all just scatter, like, boom, they're all walking in different directions, like, "Hey, I'm not doing anything wrong." And he zips the patrol car up in front of the pizza place, and he gets out, and in a voice, practically a scream, but it's with such firmness, he says, "You girls get back here right now." And sure enough, they turn around and they march right back. And he puts these seven or eight girls back up on the sidewalk, moves them down away from the pizza parlor, and he looks at them and says, "Sit down." And one girl says, I don't want to get my pants dirty. And he just looks at her and he just says, you will sit down. And sure enough, they immediately sit down. Well, it turns out that these girls have been bullying another girl. And the victim is down the sidewalk a little bit. And her mother has shown up. Now, the mother is consoling the victim, if you will. And now the police officer is addressing these six or seven, eight girls. And he goes around each one and says, what's your name? And what school do you go to? And I was very impressed. No matter what school they said, he knew the names of the principal or counselors at that school. And he said, what would your principal or your counselor think if they knew you were here and I was talking to you? And you could see that these girls did not want that to happen. So he leaves them and he goes down and talks to the victim and her mother. And he comes back. And then he begins a lecture with these seven or eight girls. And he looks at them and he says, I want to talk to you about the choices you will be making in your life. And he says, you are at a point in your life where you need to decide. And you need to decide whether or not you're going to treat other people with respect and dignity and honor and acceptance. Because if you do, your life will be destined for success. Or he said, you can make a choice to reject others who are different, to disrespect others, and not have the honor that other people deserve. And if you choose that route, you'll be choosing for yourself, quite frankly, a life of failure. And then he calls over the girl who's been the victim and her mother. He calls them over. And he says to each one of those girls sitting on the sidewalk, I want you to apologize to this girl for what you've done. But there's one other thing. If the girl is not looking at the victim directly in her eyes, he stops her and says, no. You look at her in their eyes and you apologize. And every one of them did. And then he says to them, I want you to call your parents right now and have them come pick you up. And I want you to think about the choices you're going to be making.
Peter Byron with a story about a rare opportunity to see what a policeman does.
And to see how the other half lives, I think we could say as well.
I can't imagine how difficult a job it is to be constantly around scofflaws and lawbreakers and bullies and thieves. A policeman's job is just beyond me.
I agree, and I think that part of the conversation, a small part perhaps, but part of the conversation of cops in our country right now has got to be that we can't imagine how we would behave in those situations that they find themselves in. But maybe another part of the conversation that comes out of this story is that the perspective of a cop is going to, by definition, almost be different. I mean, if you're, as you say, constantly involved with these people and you see things over and over again, then your behavior is going to be predetermined based on your preconceptions.
It would be difficult to look at anybody and think that they are innocent, I suppose.
In some ways, absolutely. In every situation, human beings do this. It's called habits. This is what habitual thinking is. Your brain jumps a few steps and says, oh, this is what I do in this situation. So here he saw young men. Right away, his brain jumped a couple of steps. He asked them, have you been arrested? I didn't hear him ask the young girls if they'd been arrested. Whether or not they had, it was not the thing he thought to ask because chances were that they were not.
I would like to think the boys had power over their destiny, though, and they had choices to make as well to determine their future.
Well, what's so fascinating about this story is that none of us can completely determine our future because we are, to some extent, at the mercy of the people around us. So if cops treat us a certain way, we may behave a certain way.
Well, the people and the environment that we're brought up in.
Exactly. And so the story has many layers to it. And one of the things I love is that in many novels and many TV shows, you see the ride with guy, right? You see the neophyte. I remember the Denzel Washington movie, fabulous movie, Training Day, where we've got the new recruit watching how the seasoned veteran does it. I mean, this is such an archetype. We've got the young man, you know, he doesn't know the ropes, and he walks into a situation and he's learning the ropes through the eyes of a veteran. This is done a lot in books and movies and stories because we, the audience, are the neophyte. So instead of giving a whole lot of background to the audience, there's a character giving it to the other character. And the way Peter told this story was so cinematic. I mean, we could just see people, and what he did not describe, we could fill in the blanks. So depending on how you want to fill in the blanks of what these kids look like.
Our own prejudices.
Exactly. If you're watching a movie, the filmmaker's prejudices are there on display, right? If you are listening to a story, it's how you fill in those blanks. And I love that Peter did that. He didn't say the ethnicity, as little information as we needed in order to get the story.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners would like to share their South Florida story, how can they get in touch with you?
All you need to do is contact me at cneil, that's N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has information as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.